To another Neil's Minutes. The Lord has been speaking a lot to me in the last few months, since July when I went to Australia and saw the fulfillment of a 21-year-old vision that I'd had in Perth in 2004. Incredible. I don't know what else to say about it. It changed what I've been focused on a little bit. In the midst of the fulfillment of that vision I saw with the Aboriginals, they were back in 2004. It was the beginning of the year to me. It started early, but from then until now, it's been a constant rearrangement of my focus back to what it was when I first started walking in the Holy Spirit in 2001. There's a reality to the simplicity by which I walked and the things that did and the visions we had and the crazy miracles we saw. And it's not that I ever quit seeing the miracles, but it's like they became fewer because I became more in control. I hope that you understand that we tend to take our experiences and we translate it into knowledge that leads us to having an expectation of what God is going to do in the future. Because of what he's done, we think, well, this is the way it has to be. These things have to be in order before God will move again. When in actuality, God is not done doing new. He's already done a Jericho march. He's already done, so many things that we tend to think, well, if we want to see God move again, we need to do this. This will precipitate. If we do this, that God will show up and he will do what he did then. But that was then, and we live in now, and God's not done. So through this last 2 years or 3 years, but mostly this last since July, there's been a renovation of my focus and a renovation of how I'm reading the Bible, how I'm talking about it, that's different. There's a solidity inside my soul of me not being the one who maps my life, but he is. So in the midst of that, I've been reminded of several key visions that changed the way I prayed. They changed the way I looked at scripture. They changed the way I looked at intimacy through the years. And God brought them back. He brought these visions back. And he told me to go back to the beginning. Go back and to the basics. Go back to the beginning of the book of Acts. In many ways, those first five or six chapters of the book of Acts, I had a lot of similar experiences in that. So I'm not them, and it wasn't anywhere close to what they saw, but it was, they're very similar things that happened that made the beginning of the book of Acts, I'd say the first nine chapters, very significant to me in my walk. Maybe 10, 12 years ago, I would say at least 10. I was in South Africa and I met a young man, probably the same age as I am, not quite. He's young. Anyway, he and I met in his house. The first time we met, I met him in another guy's house, and then we decided we needed to get together because we realized that we had had a lot of the same experiences, and we were confounded because neither one of us were walking in the fullness of our freedom to be who God had called us to be. So I was at his house, and we were talking, and it was like we would finish each other's sentences. There was so much of our experiences that were very alike, and so we used similar words or the same words to define how we felt, and we both felt like we didn't have the freedom really to be and speak what was really the fullness of what was in our heart. We felt constrained or restrained, and as we talked about it, we realized that we were going to have to spend some time in prayer that day, not on another occasion, but on that day. So, and we both felt it was pretty weighty, that we didn't know what was going to happen. In fact, we both kind of made statements as, you know, if we go into this prayer, we might not come out sane. It was that kind of an intensity to what God was asking us and what God was telling us. But he told his wife, and I called my wife in the U.S., I told her, I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I've never had this feeling that there could be so much change in my brain that I might not ever be who I am today again. I could be changed in a radical way. So we went into this room in his house, and we locked the door, and we sat down in chairs, and it wasn't long till we're both laying on the floor. And our heads were not that far apart, if I remember right. We began to see a singular vision, the two of us, laying on the floor. We were seeing things. We were seeing different things, but they were the same vision. And God was putting these things together. And in part of it, we were... God wanted us to come into his presence. And so then this path to getting into his presence or being in his throne room was lots of obstacles. There was lots of warfare. And the two of us are battling these spirits and these, for lack of better understanding, these precepts that were wrong about intimacy with God. So we battled to the point that we came up against this wall, and we knew that God the Father was just on the other side of this wall, but this wall was like, you know, it was huge. I couldn't tell you exactly, but it was tall enough there was no ladder going to reach over it, and it was thick enough that we weren't going to break a hole in it to get through it. And we're pondering together how we're going to get through this wall into the throne of God, into his throne room. And some way or other, God showed us that this wall was nothing. It was us that was the problem of not being able to walk through it. So we walked through it, and we found ourselves seated in the throne room of God with him. And he was either between us or to one side of us, but we found ourselves seated facing the same direction he was, towards the people. And he told me, I think he told both of us, but it was, why are you facing me when you're praying for someone else? Instead of praying from earth, why don't you pray from heaven? Why don't you look from where I'm seated? Look from where you're seated with me in the heavenlies, and look at the people from that perspective and feel from my heart, and then speak. It wasn't like he said, then pray. It was like, then speak what you hear or see. And it changed the way I prayed for the sick. It changed the way I prayed about others. instead of me facing God and bowing down before him, it was like I was seated with him, seeing what he saw, looking from the same direction, looking from the same position, which changed what I saw on many of the things that people thought were their problems. From God's perspective, that was not the problem, that was a fruit. So it changed my prayer life. The vision changed the way I brought other people before him. It changed the way that I responded to him telling me that I needed to, quote, pray over someone or speak to someone. I went back and began to look at the prayers of Peter and John and Jesus and Paul, and I found there was a total difference in the way they responded to the voice or direction of God than what we do. And in our sense, we tend to go to him and almost in a beggarly kind of way, but not as beggars as much as it just our perception of who we were was not complete. And so therefore we had to come always begging for God's mercy rather than being able to speak to somebody's problem or to speak whatever it is God told us to or do whatever God told us to do to see them healed, delivered. So both he and I came out of that place differently. And we had, through the few years, we had meetings where we would go up on mountaintops in the area and pray over areas, and it was a total different experience. It was not just powerful, it was it changed life. So with that, another one of my visions was I was seated at home in a chair. I love to sit in lounge chairs and ponder God, I guess you would say, or Selah. And I had been doing a lot of ministry and been busy and been gone for a month or so, and I'm seated in this lounge chair, and I just don't want to do anything. I'm tired. In this place of I just wanted to be with him without there having to be a revelation from him to give to others. So I'm seated and I said, Lord, I just want to come and sit with you. I really don't want to do anything. I just want to come and sit with you on the throne of grace. I want to just enjoy your company and watch as you do whatever you want to do. Just want to sit in the corner. So I found myself translated from my lounge chair to the throne of grace. And in this throne room, or the, I would call it the place where the prayers of people came up to. It was this big open room, and there were half pillars around the room. And on top of these pillars was the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine. And I'm in the shadows, leaning against the wall, almost hidden from everything by the shadows that I'm in. And I'm leaning against the wall, and I'm watching Jesus as someone would come into this place with a need, and he would look, and his eyes would point to someone. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, he would focus on them and they would turn and look at him, and then they would know that he wanted them to go take the Lord's Supper, the body and the blood of Christ, and serve these people that had came into this throne room of prayer. And then when the people came, partook, they were healed or changed or set free, or whatever there was a need of happened. And then whoever took this tray off of this pillar would go set it back on it and go back against the wall. And Jesus looks at me and smiling at me, because I'm there just filled with in incredible peace, just sitting there watching as the kingdom of God is being exhibited to me. And as I'm doing this, all of a sudden I feel an intensity to his share and at his stare, and I turn and look at him, and I know that he's telling me that he wants me to go and take the blood on the body of Christ and give to this woman with two kids who had came into this prayer area in the throne of grace. And I look at him and I'm going, Jesus, it's like we were talking, but in the spirit. And it was, I'm looking at him and I just go, Jesus, I just came here to watch. I don't want to do anything. There must be somebody worthy to take this, the body and the blood and give it to this woman and her kids. And I don't want to do it, Lord. Pick somebody else. And as I'm watching him, his eyes started to get wet with tears. And I realized that I was disappointing him by saying no to him. So I went, okay, I'll do it. So I leave my place of hiding almost, or standing against this wall or leaning against it, watching everything going on. So I go out and find this pillar close to her, and I pick up the tray and I take it and I give it to her. And it's like instantly when she receives the blood and the flesh of Christ, it's like the Lord's Supper transformed her, and she was so thrilled. And so I was thrilled, and I took the platter back and set it on this post and or pillar, and I went back and stood against the wall, and Jesus looked at me like, thank you so much. And I'm going, I just want to watch, Jesus. I don't want to do anything. I just want to come and just sit in your presence like this. I don't need to do anything. And so time goes on, and pretty soon I notice this feeling that he's staring at me again. And a man or a couple of men had came in, and they were standing next to this one pillar. And I was wondering why nobody had went out and gave them the Lord's Supper. And I turn and look at Jesus, and he's looking at me, and he's, again, I know he's telling me, I want you to do this. And I'm going, no, Jesus, look, really, I did it once. I just want to just be in your presence. And as I saw the tears starting to form, one of them actually comes out on his cheek and runs down his cheek. And I'm going, okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you. And so I go out and give them the Lord's Supper, and both of these guys are changed, and they're so excited, and they leave the throne room just filled with joy and peace. And I put the platter back on top of the pillar and go back over, and I notice that I know Jesus is watching me. And so I finally submit to the gaze, and I turn and look at him, and he's beckoning me to come up and sit beside him. He's seated on the steps next to the throne. The throne is maybe one step above us, but then there's this stairway. It's probably 10 or 12 steps down in front of the throne, and he's seated on one of these steps, and he bids me to come over and sit beside him. Oh, there was a little bit of verbal stuff going on then, and I'm telling him, I'm not worthy of this. I just want to stay right where I'm at and watch. And he says, well, why don't you come and watch from where I'm seated? And so I did. I went over and I sat down beside him, and the first thing he did is put his arm around me. And we're just sitting there, and he's watching what is happening at these different pillars, and the people coming and somebody going out and giving them the covenant, and in the covenant the healing is there, and we're just watching. But he would touch me with his hand. There was this shoulder on my shoulder, and he would, like tap on my shoulder, and get me to look at him, and he wouldn't be looking at me, but he would be looking in a certain direction, and then I would look and I would see what he saw. And I would see the person the way Jesus saw him, from his perspective. And we sat there, I don't know how long, but it was like, I just didn't want to leave. And but I knew it was over, the time was over. And as I'm walking away from him, he goes, "Thank you for seeing and being with me." And I was back out of this vision and recognized that I felt refreshed. And I, at the end of the vision, he showed me, he says, "You want to know what this is?" He says, "This is really not you sitting in the throne room with me." He says, "This is what's taking place on the earth. There's somebody with a need. And I put in your heart and in your head that you should go see him, touch him, pray for him, something, whatever it is that I speak to your heart, you're supposed to do." So it is, I'm seated in the heavenly places with Christ, but he says, it's your operation on earth. And when people don't trust me, when I say, "Please, you go and touch this person," but they feel too common, or, you know, whatever their reasons for saying, "No, I just can't do that, Jesus." It breaks his heart, because he's given his blood and his body so that we can do the things that he did. We can see from his perspective. And it was me or someone else on the earth touching somebody that had a need, but not touching them with our repetitive hoping for grace prayer, but as being sons of God and seated with Christ, and knowing that when he shows you to go to speak to someone, he's prepared you to be the answer to their need. So all of this is going on, and I've got a few more stories too, but I'm going to stop here. And I think we all need to think about, what is our perspective, and do we pray with anticipation that God's going to do something, or do we pray with expectation that God is going to do this certain thing that we think he's got to do because of our words? Thank you. Blessings.